Praise the Lord. Well, my mind is so captured by this living word, and I don't know how well I'm conveying it, but to try and do anything else would be just useless. So we're going to take another run at it, using a few different scriptures. One thing, we were admonished I believe it's one of Paul's letters to Timothy. He's instructed him, he says, by the prophecies that have gone forward before you, make a good warfare. Remember we taught on that one time? One of the things that the Lord said to me many years ago, I'd have to go back and find out. But he said to me that he was going, he knows I have an engineering mind. I like to know how things work. But he said to me about the anointing. He said the anointing, it's predicated on whether or not I would allow him the fullness of time to teach me. See, that part's up to me. But if I do, then the promise was, he said, the anointing would become to me like a wrench or a tool in the hand of a mechanic. And he said, you would understand the aspects of the anointing the same way a mechanic understands the tools that he uses. And another thing he said, I think it was in that same day, he said, the day will come when you'll look back on these days. What days? These days of lay hands on them and some get healed and some don't. Some live and some die. He said, you'll look back on these days with amusement. And he says, you'll just laugh out loud that it ever seemed so hard. See, I hang on to that. That gives me hope. That gives me hope to keep on. And I believe that's exactly the way he intends for it to be with us, that we're mechanics in his kingdom, if you would allow me to do that, that God has anointed us with that same Holy Ghost and given us the name of Jesus, and we're supposed to be going about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil because God's with us just the same way he did. And that's what he said. He said, those that believe, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. Well, we're still pressing towards that mark. You remember when Pastor Dave, quite a few years ago, was asking the Lord, he says, Lord, we're not arguing with you about those statements. We believe it. He says, here it is, I can read words. But it seems like the journey from the knowledge of that to walking in that journey seems to be longer than most of our lifetimes, because in every 100 years, we have maybe a handful of people. You don't have very many Smith Wigglesworths, Amy Simple McPhersons, very, very many that make it over into that realm. But that's sure not the way the Lord said it. He said, those that believe. So I know that it's something to do with our belief system. And here lately, again, when I just say the words out of my mouth, I say, what are you going to teach? It's like remember that conference where somebody came and they asked Dave, here they're coming from other countries. They're coming from around the world. And they want to receive revelation. And somebody asked Pastor Dave, and this was right at the beginning of the Born Again Trail. He says, well, all these ministers and everybody's coming. What are you going to teach on? And he goes, I'm going to teach on being born again. They thought he was kidding, Boy, how many of you learned a few things going down the Born Again Trail? See? Well, I think we're learning some things about his living word. Jesus is the word of God. So turn to John chapter 5. And you might put a marker in Psalms 107. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to remind you of the verse that we all know, Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God is quick, and that's just an old English word that means alive. It is alive. The word of God is quick, and it's powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Boy, the way the Lord's been using Alan to teach here the last few weeks about He's taken that word of God. See, without the word of God, it's really hard to discern sometimes between your soul and your spirit. It's hard. And the way the Lord's been using Alan's messages, it's helping me see. I've been living under a lot of condemnation because I was identifying with the wrong part of me. You know? Again, I can't get past, and I know I apologize. Well, we have video tonight, but I apologize to all of you that can only hear my voice. But Alan did this message where he was standing there like he is the born-again child of God. He's the spirit man, or what the Bible calls the inner man, the hidden man of the heart. He's the new creature. Like everyone who's born again, you are a new creature, really. You are the offspring of God. Your spirit, in Ephesians, it says, is created in righteousness and true holiness. It bears the image of God. Now, it's not born in full maturity, but it's in there. Now, in that same passage, though, it says, now put off the old man. Well, that's not talking about your old nature. You can read in Romans 6, 7, leading up to chapter 8, that sin nature is the very part of us that died the death. Your nature, your spirit, is literally the part of you that died and then was resurrected from the dead. That's why Jesus, who is the prototype of our species, is called the firstborn from the dead. He's the first person ever born to new life or resurrected to life from the dead species of man. Well, he's the firstborn. Your number's in there somewhere. My number's in there somewhere. We are a people raised from the dead, every one of us. You've been quickened to new life. But that doesn't mean you're not saddled with the flesh. And that's what Alan brought out so eloquently a week or so ago. And so he's standing there, and I liked it. You know, he's like me. He's fluffy a little bit. You know, he's fluffy. And he had Mike Banks come up and stand behind him, and Mike is tall and thin. So he said, well, this is perfect, see, because I'm the spirit man, and your spirit man should be a little thicker because you've been praying in other tongues and building yourself up. Your spirit man's skinny because hopefully you've been fasting. To make him thinner. I thought it was good. But he says the war really is between this new man on the inside and this old man, let's call him the flesh, on the outside. And during that whole service, Mike Banks, representing the old man, he just stood there. Some of the best preaching I've ever seen in my life. I mean, thank God he stood there through the whole service too, because every time Alan would say something else further on in the, I'd go, yeah. And it helped divide. Using the word of God, it helped make a division in my own mind between my spirit and my soul. My new man and the unrenewed part of me, which is the old man, really. And you know what? Since then, I've been going over that. Now, see, I don't know about you guys. I know when someone served me a steak. See, I've already listened to that message twice since hearing it here. And I'm not done with it yet. I may do it several more times. There is a lot in that. Now, get this. See, here's one that's happened since then. I didn't look up the verse, but you know yourself that in Hebrews it says, Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. Yet without sin. Has it dawned on you yet that if Jesus was standing there, we could have had Mike Banks stand behind him? Saddled with the same flesh you're saddled with. Everyone just thank God for mercy. See, he's the prototype. Spirit born of God. What do you have, Christian? Spirit born of God. Flesh descended from Adam. Full of all kinds of, how's it, King James, lusts and affections. And in between, you've got this soul. The soul of man, as more I learn, it's more than the mind. The soul of man. I've been wanting to teach on what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul, see? Because the soul of man, it is an amazing, what do I say, invention, design by the Creator. The soul of man can think the thoughts of the world, or the soul of man can be reprogrammed to think the thoughts of God. If you don't do anything about renewing it, then it's going to think like the world, because that's what it has the most experience with, and that's what you live in all the time, and that's what all the input mostly is from, is worldly things. And you'll think like the world, and that's why in Romans 12:2 it says, don't be conformed to this world. Which meaning, Christian, you can be. The letter's written to Christians. You can think like the world. You can have the same ambitions of the world. You can spend your life. You know, a lot of ministries, really what they're doing, they're very little difference than businesses. They're in competition, and they're trying to have the biggest ministry, like businesses are trying to have the largest market share. Very little difference. But we don't see Jesus operating that way. But he says, don't be conformed to the world, but be you transformed how? By the renewing of your what? The mind. And the mind is a portion. It's included in the soul. The soul is not just the intellect, but it includes the emotions. It includes your memories. And it's able to bridge both worlds. It'll function in both worlds, see? Well, all through the Old Testament, God sent forth his word. I said, go to John. Let's go to Psalms instead first. Psalms 107. I just want to look at this one verse just so you can see it. Psalms 107, look at verse 20. It says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. How did he do it? He sent them his word. Now, in this morning's message, I meticulously went through the books of beginnings. Genesis chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1, in the beginning. And in Genesis account, it talks about, and God said, and God said, and God said. But in John's account, he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. And in the Greek, it says, no, not one single thing. So we could combine those two accounts and say it something like this. God looked upon the earth and it was dark and void and without form. Instead of saying, and God said, you could say, God sent forth his word. Light be. Light was. Now that word, we're told, was in the beginning with God and was God. Well, we know that's the second member of the Godhead. Now, go ahead and turn to John 5 now. See, all through the Old Testament, God kept revealing who he was. He kept telling them his names. You know, that we have those, quote, covenant names is how they're usually referred to. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord your healer. Jehovah Jireh, I am the Lord your provider. And Jehovah Tsidkenu. I like Allen's, Jehovah Sneaky, but anyway. He'll sneak up on you and bless you anyway, you know. But God was revealing himself. I'm a healer. I'm a provider. I'm a savior. I'm present with you. I am your peace. And on and on and on. Yet, we went through this a week or so ago too. Jesus, right after he was baptized in the Holy Ghost and after he defeated the devil in the wilderness, he comes to Nazareth, his hometown, and preaches the year of Jubilee. This day, the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And at first they liked all that, you know. But then he goes to meddling. And he says, you know, there are a lot of widows in Elijah's day. A lot of widows in Israel, covenant people. And to not one of them was Elijah sent. But to a lady who wasn't even a covenant person. Then he goes to Elijah, the prophet, to his day. And he says there was a lot of lepers, many lepers, many lepers in Israel. In his day, not, get this, see, it's what made them so mad they wanted to kill him. Not one was healed, except Naaman. And again, not a covenant person. Made them so mad they wanted to kill him, because in plain talk, he was saying, the point of that message was right there, a prophet has no honor in his own country. You don't believe the word of God that I am bringing to you. In a nutshell, he's saying they didn't believe it. God sent his word. It was present to heal. They could have been healed. If words mean anything, he's going, every widow could have been provided for. They were covenant people. Every leper could have been healed. God sent forth his word, and not one of them believed it. That's what he was saying, and that's what made him so mad. And he says, you're not believing the word I'm bringing you now. So what God did in the Old Testament, God sent his word by the prophets. Finally, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, God sends forth his word in the flesh. He says, I'm going to show you. That's why Jesus said at the end, near the end of his ministry to Philip, he said, Philip, you want to see the Father? I came to show you the Father. I am the Word of God. I am the manifestation of my Father. You want to know my Father? You want to know him, do you? Philip, haven't you seen me? I've come to show you the Father. Now, John chapter 5, verse 30. Has always been one of my just absolute favorite verses. I love it in the King James, but in this one, the Amplified is just so much better. It brings out so much more of the meaning. See, you talk about unique. There's only one. Only one Jesus. We can be conformed in whatever degree to his image, but trust me, there's only one second member of the Godhead. Look what he says about himself here. That a human, someone manifested in the flesh, someone walking planet Earth with skin like you and me. But be able to say this, and the Holy Ghost be his witness that it's true. Now the way he says it in the King James, John 5:30, Jesus says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Why? Why is it just? Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. He is the Word. He is the Word of God without bias, without opinion, without agenda. He is the Word of God. It's like the Word of God has walked up with legs to you. Said, he sent me here. I am the manifestation of his Word. The same way he sent his Word to heal them, I have been sent to you. And I have no agenda of my own. He does the work through his Word, which is me. See, how many of you go, boy, if Jesus was here. I could get my miracle. I could get my miracle not just for me. I could get it for my Aunt Susie. I could get it for my friend. I could get it for your friends in the hospital. I could get it for my child. If Jesus was here, he would say, my word, I am the word. And he has sent forth his word. And the problem he has in our generation is the same problem he had in their generation. We have met the enemy, and he is us. It's us. And in big measure, it's that flesh. It's that ugly monkey on our back, the way Alan put it. And we don't even realize it. That's not us. See, the way I said that, the enemy, he's us, but not really. That's what the enemy wants. See, if I stop right here, we all have a nice condemnation message, and I could have an altar call, and we'd all go, yeah, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. I don't care about you doing better. See, the real you believes everything God says. Turn to somebody and say that. The real me believes everything God says. I am a faith person, born of God. My nature is to believe my Father. Now see, that's the real you. That's what's been so helpful to me these last couple of weeks. I keep seeing that image. And now I'm seeing it that Jesus was saddled with the same monkey. And I don't mean he just saddled with the same flesh. Let's put it that way. He was tempted in all points like we are. That's not possible if he wasn't saddled with the same kind of flesh we're saddled with. You know, it says he's able to succor in the King James. Well, great. He's able to succor those that are tempted. Plain English, he knows what you're going through. He has felt that temptation himself. He's felt it himself, yet without sin. Which means, if he's the prototype, now we're all pressing towards the mark. I don't know if to what degree I'll ever get there, but let's set the bar high. Let's don't lower the mark. Let's leave it right where he set it. And let's press towards that. You got that? Let me read you that same verse out of the Amplified. It's John 5:30 out of the Amplified Bible. Let me read it first and then we'll do that. It says, I am able to do nothing from myself, independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get His orders. If God's Word, if the pages could stand up and talk to you, which they did. That's what I'm trying to get across. They did. God's Word would say, because it's His Word, He says, His Word would say, I am the product of my Father's will. I'm not adding anything to, I'm not taking anything away. See? Jesus said, it's the Father in me. How about, it's the Father in the Word that does the works. Did you hear that right there? God in the Word. Well, the Word is God. Our finite mind try. Yet He did it this way to help us understand Him. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, but one God. Let me finish reading it. Even as I hear, I judge. And it says, I decide as I am bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, it's just, it's righteous. Why? Because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, or my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. See, that to me, that's the mark to shoot for right there. God, I would love to. I'd love to be able to say, not just by faith. I would love to be that person. I would love to be. And see, to whatever degree we get mortified, what part of us is being mortified? Well, it's a part of us that does want to please ourselves and do our own aim and accomplish our own purpose. Well, the more we're transformed to be like Him, the more all of that dies in us. See, that's the mortification. The edification is the more we're conformed to His image. But that's not even the message. He's trying to get a thought across to us in this season. Again, I'm going to start like this. If the pages of this book could somehow stand up and talk to you, I am God's Word, which is exactly what Jesus is. He is God's Word who stood up and talked to us and showed us and demonstrated to us. Now He's saying He's letting us know everything you see of me, that is my Father. I am the manifestation of my Father's Word. Now, I still haven't got it across. I'm going to try it again. Your situation, no matter how desperate, whether it be sickness, whether it be depression, whether it be suicidal thoughts, whether it be, I don't care what it be. God has sent His Word to heal you of it. And if that Word, if somehow it could visit you, Fred, if it could visit you, Daisy, if it could come to your living room and stand up off the pages and talk to you, it says, I have no agenda. I have nothing to add, nothing to take away. My Father's will comes to you through me. And you can have it if you can believe it. That's why all things are possible to him who believes. See? Well, now, the part that's helping me, the diffusion, and you know we haven't rehearsed this, you know, the timing of my messages and the timing of Alan's is just God. We haven't talked. You know, he was gone for weeks. But what's helping me so much is that image now is helping me divide asunder soul from spirit. Because I'll just be honest with you, I see now I have been going through a lot of condemnation because of wrong self-identification. I'm not even that guy. The real me. See, now here we come to God's Word. This is, help me, God. Help me get this across. We went through Ephesians for a year. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 just for a moment. See that? Ultimately, now we're not still teaching out of Ephesians, but we're still possessing Ephesians. Okay. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:22. Everything in me wants to just start at verse 1 of chapter 1. Do you know he's really teaching the same thing here as in Romans about not being conformed to this world? Back up just a little. Look at this. Look at verse 17. I'm really looking for verse 22, 23, and 24, but let's start in 17 so you'll see the same flow of the mindset from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, this I say therefore, this is verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. How are they walking? In the vanity of their mind. In Romans 12:2, it says that you be not conformed to this world. He's talking about exactly the same thing. Well, how come these other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind? Because their understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness, or alternate rendering is hardness, of your heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Well, there's your world right there. There's the world. That's, remember when Alan was saying, now this guy behind me here, this monkey on my back, this residue of Alan Taylor, this, he's the man of the world. And he loves the things of the world. And he's the one that wants all of these things. He's greedy. Likes lasciviousness. I want to do what I want. And see, I grew up in the 60s and, you know, if it feels good, do it, you know. Well, that's the flesh. That's called, the name, that is lasciviousness. There's no restraint. If it feels good, do it, you know. Well, another one we have nowadays, I've seen it every now and then on a commercial. I want it all, I want it all, I want it all, and I want it now. That's the flesh crying out. Being past feeling, have given themselves over to these things. Now see, that's exactly where Alan was drawing the line. God, y'all do know when I got born again, I'll just talk about me and not you. I mentioned this morning, one of the things that he had to do is drive the money changers out of the temple. I'm already born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, Shondalai along with the rest of you. But I had greed in me. Well, where in me though, see? Where? It's residue. It's in that flesh, that it's that part of my soul that had not been renewed yet. The part of my thinking, the part of my affection. Hey, it's not hard to like nice things. It's easy to like nice things. I'm still like nice things. I'm not going to give my life for a car or a house or a boat. I'm not going to give my life for it. That guy would. And most of the world is. And see what Alan's been saying. He said, look, it's God will walk through hell with you while you struggle with these things. Where you get in trouble is when you give yourselves over to them. See, and that's what he's saying about the world. They've given themselves over to it. I'll plainly tell you, my life before I got born again, I'd written out this thing. I was going to be a millionaire by a certain age, and I didn't care if God liked it or didn't like it. You know, anyway. But he'll walk through hell with you as long as you're struggling against that. And that we could back up to Galatians. I mean, that's the whole warfare that's listed there. The flesh, that the Mike Banks guy, the residue. You're warring with him. You know the part of you that doesn't like to pray is him? It was a revelation to me in the last 2 weeks that the part of Gary that doesn't like to fast is him. But in a way, it's really encouraging because I didn't know there was anything in me that liked it. But now the Word of God has plainly shown me. Sure, I like it. Puts that guy down. I'm going to have to search and find him. But I know he's in there now. I know he's in there. Where are you? I'm hunting for you. But the Word of God, by revelation, I know that he's in there. That's part of that dividing asunder of soul and spirit, see? There's a part of you that is a faith machine, I'm telling you. There's a part of you that born of God that believes like he believes. Let's find that one. Let's nurture him. Build him up. Start putting the squeeze on this other guy through mortification and all that we know about that, and get him down. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, this world, verse 19, being past feeling, have given themselves over, to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now see right here, immediately my mind goes to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. If you want to have a fun time in your Bible study, just do a computer search of the word truth and see what all John says about it in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than I see my children walking in the truth over and over again. So how do you do it, though? How do you do that? Well, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, your former manner of life, the old man. Now, he's not talking about the sin nature. You've got to get that because this letter is written to Christians. Your nature has already been, we could go verse after verse after verse, that you have already been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He was made to be sin that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. On and on and on. We could go Romans 6 and Romans 7, Romans 8, showing methodically like Paul did, like an attorney in a court of law, how that old man has been judged dead and buried and you have been quickened to new life in your spirit. So he's not talking about that. He's talking about the residue that remains, the thinking processes that remain, the emotional attachments that remain, the hurts and memories and all of those things that remain in the soul that's dogging you and telling you that you're not who God says you are in his word. And that's our challenge today in our generation. See, I like all of you. I know some of you better than I know the others. You know, we've all talked and you seem okay to me. You know, you look right and look nice tonight and everything, you know. Nobody's trying to throw me off the brow of the hill. See, you know. But see, where I can't go with you is walk through your mind with you. I don't want you walking with me through mine. I'm telling you right now. I have hell days. Do y'all have hell days? Don't even know if I'm saved. If I'm going to go by that, how I feel, if I want to go by circumstances, if I'm going to go by what I see you do. Pastors who's been pastoring mega churches stand up in the pulpit, just declare horrible things. Horrible things. You know? If I'm going to judge by all of that, there's no chance. There's no hope. The Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide between soul and spirit. Suddenly I'm finally really getting a better understanding of what this war really is. I have got to reject everything that says I am not who God says I am. Do you know that's exactly what the devil did with Jesus? If thou be the Son of God. He's always coming at you with this and that. If thou be the child of God. If thou be the child of God. So man gets into performance, trying to prove what he already is. Trying to become what God's already made him by grace. I think it was Mark Cooper that says to me, he says, the big challenge for the church today is to walk in what God has already made us to be. Or I think he said it this way, to walk in who we really are. And that's exactly it. All right, previews. I'm doing the best I can. I know that we're going to have more on this. I'm going to try. Okay, I'm going to try now. Bring that back around again, Lord. I'm going to call that message this morning, the substance of all things. Remember how we went to John and it says all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So why is it that everything really will react to the Word of God? Because everything at its core is the Word of God. Now, it's not the way God originally intended it. You know, when he finished his work, he looked at it, said it's all very good. But after Adam sinned, you know, a curse came on the earth, and this is... But still, at its core, everything that exists, the chair you're sitting in, look at your fingernails again. I use that. Your fingernails, at its core, it's the Word of God. The reason everything will respond to the Word of God, because at its core, everything is the Word of God. Now, I'm going to try. The sower sows the Word. Well, the Word is the substance of all things. Nothing was made without the Word. The Word is the substance of all things. I said it. The sower sows the Word. Where did he sow it? How did you get born again? How did you get born again? Somebody sowed the Word. That nature that came into you, whose nature is it? Christ's nature, if Christ be in you. You have within you the source of the substance of all things. If that ever dawns on us, and that we've been given the name of Jesus seated at the right hand of God to unleash the power that is the source of all things, that already resides in each believer. The devil is in big trouble. Cancer is in big trouble. Every damnable sickness is in big trouble. I mean, it will bow and it will change and the power of the Holy Ghost will flow. But it's when we get to the place where every thought we have is right and just and righteous, because we do not consult our own will. We have no desire to do what is pleasing to ourselves, our own aim or our own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent His Word into us so that we could go and declare that Word to change a fallen world back to the original intent of the Father. Did you get anything out of that? We don't know who we are. We are the temple of the living God. When you walk in the room, if you can receive this at this point, God walks in the room. Hello, temple. Hello, temple. Someday it's going to be just that way. Now I understand better why Smith Wigglesworth could just sit on the train, not even have to say a word. Just be so full of that presence of the living God that the atmosphere would become saturated. And a man, after just a little while, couldn't stand it. He'd just come and bow down. He'd say, "You convict me of my sin, sir. What must I do to be saved?" Oh, let's press towards that mark. Amen. Previews of coming attractions. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Do you think the devil left him alone when it come to trying to make him sick? Nobody's wanting to say nothing. I think his body was attacked just like our body was attacked, and it was susceptible to everything your body is susceptible to. His body, if it was different from ours, and he's not the prototype. No, he had the same kind of body we have. He had the new creature life on the inside just like we have, and anointed with the same Holy Ghost. Now, the devil tried to attack his body with sickness too. Who won? Inner man? Outer man? The inner man. dominion. I'm looking forward to what's coming. It's helping me a lot. It's helping me a lot. See this. See, when you get as convinced, should I say this, Helena? When we get as convinced in our outer man as our inner man is already convinced that we're healed, then our body is healed. And we'll walk in it too. Same way he walked in it. See now, picture Jesus. And the devil's attacking his outer body with sickness. Jesus goes, wonder if my Father's word is true. What do y'all think? Gee, maybe I really am sick and maybe I can't stop it because these symptoms in my body are telling me. Previews of coming attractions. I'm telling you, we're headed down a good trail here. This is good. My meditator is in overdrive. I can't hardly sleep at night. Those kind of thoughts come because I saw Mike and Alan. Then I saw Gary and Gary, if you know what I mean. Okay. Now I'm seeing Jesus in flesh and I'm going, wait a minute. He's the prototype. Good meditation, isn't it?